Okay, we're continuing our discussion of kinois. Let's look. We're continuing. Rabbi Sai. Let's continue our discussion of the kinois. We're up to kinotes. Okay, kinotes. Eicha, page 166. Eicha. Sefarti me ra ashoy sai hishlichu. How could it be that my splendor, my crown, has been thrown down from my head? What is the theme? The theme of this kina is the toichecha. Okay, that is the major theme of this. In the toichecha and parashas bichu kosai, there's a toichecha parash bichu kosai and the toichecha parashas kisava. Interesting, I do not believe there is any kina, at least in our edition of the Kinois, that dwells upon the Toichach of Parshas Kisavai. The only thing that we have, actually two Kinois that dwell upon the Toichach, it's Kina Tes, and I think it's Kina Tezvav also. Kina Tezvav also dwells upon the Toichach, we'll get to a little bit to get to soon. And that's what it does. If you notice the end of each line means another pasuk of in bichgosai telechu, the nasati chelef, we were punished, our rain turned into dust in exchange for v'nasati gish mechem v'itam, and famine came upon us in exchange for his siglechem dayish espotzir, the threshing season will extend until the harvest of the grapes. Instead of there being shalom baretz, there was war, and instead of us being able, five of us being able to pursue 100, we were cut down by Yachmos Pina Sedek. V'chulu v'chulu. We focus on every single part of the skina, focuses upon the toichecha. Okay, so you can make out of it what you want. What is the main essence of the toichecha? I think it's very much important for us this year. It doesn't say this in the kina at all, but when in the Torah, the toichecha focuses very heavily on shemitah, on the lack of observance of Shemitah. The reason why we were in Godless for exactly 70 years, according to Chazal, is because we were Mevat, this is a very complex calculation, we failed to observe 70 Shemitahs. Bizman Shabbos, Hamidash Kayom, there's a calculation, 70 Shemitahs when Bar and Klal Yisrael were completely indifferent or in rebellion to its observance. And Mida Keneged Mida, the earth, Eretz Yisrael finally got to rest for 70 years, the 70 years of Shemitah. That's a major theme of the Toichecha. It doesn't say that in the Kina, but you're focusing on the Kina, you have to think about that idea. And especially this year is a Shemitah year. And Shemitah is a very, very controversial, but it's a hot topic in Eretz Yisrael. And you have to give credit to people who, there are a lot of heterim. There are a lot of heterim, and there are, and unfortunately, we don't have a choice. We have to make use of the heterim, otherwise we can't survive. And especially, you go to study history, go back 100 years ago, go back 50 years ago, you literally could not survive unless we made use of all the various heterim. But you have to also pay tribute to people who are mamish, meiser nefesh, to be medaktek in shmita l'chol perotecha v'ditecha v'chavonosecha. There are people, we don't appreciate this because we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but there are people that really give up quite a bit. They don't have to. They can take the easy way out. But they choose to be meiser nefesh in order to give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to observe shmita l'chol perotecha v'ditecha v'chavonosecha. And that's definitely a major theme of this kina. Another major theme of the kina, the beginning of the kina is imich kosai telechu, is Torah. Im, the first Rashi in Parashas Bichu Kosai, Im Yihiyu Amelim B'Torah. One of the major reasons Chazal, this is the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av is Allah of the Haaretz. We're going to lay this on Tisha B'Av before you recite the Kinois. You read the words of the Navi Yeshaya, not Yeshav, Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah says, you want to know why the bias was Charav? They couldn't figure out. They asked all the Rabbanim, all the Nevi'im, all the Tzadikim, and no one knew why. Until Hashem said, I'll tell you why. Shaloi berachoi batorah tchila. You did not make a bracha when you recited berachas haTorah. So what does that mean? So there are many interpretations, but the basic common denominator of all the various interpretations is there was a lack of appreciation for Talmud Torah. The study of Torah was not appreciated. Here you're in Kailo. The most important thing that you do here is the fact that you devote every day all this time to come here, to travel, to be here, to go back, it's awesome. I mean, mamash, Dvar Naroim is the chashivas of Torah is a priority in your life. And there could not be a greater nachas ruach v'kodesh baruch hu than the chashivas of Torah. And that's what the Toichacha is all about. That's the opening line of In Bichukosai Teilechu. Okay, now we go to Kina Yud. Kina Yod is beautiful Kina. Echa Yoshva Chavatzeles HaSharoin. Okay, the rose of the Sharoin. The 24 V'damam Roi Mipinoise Aroin. There are 24 sections in this Kina, and each, the last words of each section have a word that is highlighted in the article. Kina is Maroin, Tzipoirim, Mif Shoto, Aisaloi, Yoitfos, Mibeslechem, Kfar Uziel. We don't have any records of these places. These are 24 cities, or 24 mishmarois, or 24, or sometimes it lists the sin that was committed by the various mishmar. We know that Shmuel and David divided all of the Kehanim into 24 groups. Each one was called a Mishmar. Each Mishmar served 1 week in the Beis HaMikdash. Each Mishmar in turn was divided into 6 groups called the Bate Avos. And everyone was in a Beis Av Mishmar, which basically meant a Kohen was on duty to serve in the Mikdash once in 24 weeks. Once in 24 weeks, which means twice a year, 2 days a year did you serve in the Beis HaMikdash. For the week of your Mishmar, you were stationed in the Beis HaMikdash, in the dormitory. You moved in for the week. On Shabbos, so it wasn't really twice a year, because on Shabbos, everyone came together. When you're on Shabbos, your Mishmar, you all were there, everyone was there. And on Yom Tov, anyone who wanted could come. Now, I don't know how it would work, the overcrowding, how everyone worked together, there were only that many korbanos to bring, whatever it was, but basically you only had to be on duty 2 days a year. Now, 2 weeks.
Rotations.
2 rotations. And in that rotation, you only worked 1 day. At Shabbos, you did work, you were there, and in Yom Tov, you also worked. And in Chora, there's a question, if a Kohen this time he wants to come. You want to come, today's my birthday. I want to come, I want to do the avoda today. It's not my mishmar, but you know, today's my day. I made a sima shas today. I want to bring a carbon, I'm doing it myself. Don't tell me what to do. Could a kohen do it? L'chari, yeah. It seems like a kohen, if he wanted, if he insisted to come on a day, you have to be there for everyone. Oh, the Klal Yisrael, 2 days a year. But for yourself, you can come whenever you want. All right. This also, we discuss this at great length. This also alludes to diversity in Klal Yisrael. Mm. Right? How many groups are there in Klal Yisrael today? Try to break it up. So they're basically, I think there are three major... I think there are, how many groups are there today? I think they range mainly three. I'm talking about major, major groups. Before we splinter them down into a million different groups. Right, there's the Ashkenazim, and there are the Sfardim, and there's the Eidus HaMizrach. Eidus HaMizrach, and that's really it. Then the Yemenites are a very small group. What? They're a very small group. I think those are the three major, major groups that have major dominance in Eretz Yisrael. Eidus, what?
What is the Eidus?
It's something different. It's not
considered Sfardim.
Different, real Sfardim, yeah. Yeah. The Sfardim, the Eidus HaMizrach, now I could be, I'm totally wrong. My understanding is they're not really the same. Is that, are you familiar with this? Are you familiar?
Yeah,
what?
I think it's the,
they're the same?
I think it's
the same? Okay, I don't know. I'm not. Okay, alright. I think Eidus HaMizrach is a more watered down.
It's like the Syrians?
Yeah, that's right.
What? Okay, so you want to break down the groups. All right, listen, you can break down the groups into many, many. Look, among the Ashkenazim, there are the Hasidim versus the Misnagdim. We call the Misnagdim. Among the Misnagdim, there are so many different groups. Yeah, there's the Young Israel crowd, and there's the Lakewood crowd. Okay, and they're very different. They're very different Ashkafas, but they're both Misnagdim. The Young Israel movement, the National Council of Young Israel, and their affiliated synagogues are very different than the Agoda affiliated shuls, but we're both part of the same main group called Misnagdim. Then there are Hasidim. Oh, so you want to go break up the Hasidim. There's original Hasidim and there's...
The original ones, they lived in the same town. They tried to do research and they don't understand when the accent changed.
When everything changed.
The pronunciation of words became because there were people that lived in the same city.
Okay, they're very different. Satma is a world apart.
Look, it was Lutash.
Avada? What?
It was basically Chassidish.
Who?
Yeah.
We're talking about what? Who?
Agoda is not basically.
Agoda? Agoda is a conglomerate. All right, let's not. But the point is, we all appreciate the fact that every group has a distinct Jewish flavor. More than Baskins and Robbins. There are more flavors in Yiddishkeit than there are different ice creams. The Beis HaMikdash, when you think about it, among the Kohanim, there were 24 cities. That means there were 24 different types of Kohanim. Each city had its own flavor. So just like you imagine today, you come, you bring a little car, a woman comes to the Chatas, come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a Satmar Shtibel. Who's in charge here? This is in charge. You come back 2 weeks later. Who's in charge? National Council of Young Israel puts up their flag outside. The National Council, their Kohanim are calling the shots. You come back 3 weeks later, the Moroccans are in charge. You come back.
Was the Avodah done differently?
No, it was not done. But Minhagim, there is Halacha, there are Minhagim. There's custom. There's a difference.
Kohen Gadol was there all the time.
Kohen Gadol was in charge of them all. The Kohen Gadol was in Shulam on them all, 100%. One Kohen Gadol from them all. But you have to appreciate diversity. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash this week, this week is the week of the OU. The OU is in charge. Rabbi Elephant, he gives a Daf Yomi in between the Talmud Shel Shachar and Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim. Okay? And you come back 2 weeks later, Satmar is in charge. Daf Yomi? What's Daf Yomi? There's no Daf Yomi when Satmar is in charge. What? Limisparo. Daf Yomi. Okay, then you go, the Yemenites are in charge. Who are these Kohanim with these long pelech? What's going on over here? Every city had its flavor. And when you bring a carbon, every week you had a different... So you would maybe even wait. I'm going to wait for my week, the week that I feel comfortable with. This, the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim added into Klal Yisrael the Yoifi of diversity. Yoifi comes from diversity. It's Chavatzeles Hashoroin. Chavatzeles Hashoroin is a dogma of beauty. Beauty, no one ever said beauty, no, be a piece of wood, a black piece of wood, no one's going to tell you it's beautiful. Beauty is where you combine different elements, different items together, and they form a pattern. And each one's uniqueness is emphasized in contrast to its fellow, to its neighbor. That is the essence of Yoifi, yeah? Yeah. That's also Yoifi.
Achdus
doesn't mean being one. It means different types coming together to serve the same purpose. If everyone drove the same car, it would be a very boring world. If you go out into the street and every single car looks the same, you go out of your mind. Everyone lived in the same house. Everyone lived in the same shul. You go out of your mind. Everyone has to have a certain unique flavor. Achdus is where you're different, but we all come together to serve the same mission. That's Yoifi. The beginning over here, there's a lot of precision in this kina. There are 24 Mishmaros, and we begin the 24 Mishmaros with an expression of Yoifi. Beauty. Chavatzeles Hashoroin. The rose of the Sharon was the most beautiful rose. And this is how we describe the coming together of 24 distinct different groups in Klal Yisrael to serve to Hashem together. No?
Yeah.
What do you mean no?
We need 24 different kinds of hats. No more black.
No,
they all were
We're talking about the Hanukkah. We're putting more on the Hanukkah, more importance on the Hanukkah than anything else.
What do you mean anything else?
You know, if somebody just said something about, you
the Hasidic way of pronouncing words.
Yeah.
My one set of my grandparents came in the 20s from Hungary.
I'm not talking about things that are mistakes. I'm talking about a different flavor. There's no question that in Klal Yisrael, put aside mistakes, there are some minhagei shtus, there are some foolish things that we do. Put all that aside. Let's talk about the core. The core. The core is there are different flavors of Yiddishkeit.
Yeah, but I think it's just Ashkenaz and Sfarad.
Within Ashkenaz, there are also, every shul has a distinct flavor. It's a mitzvah. Kishen shepartzufeim enam shavas kach deo simenam shavas. No two people look alike, no two people think alike. That's how it is.
Different sects.
Okay, let's leave it with that. 24 mishmaris of kehanim, chavatzelis hashiron, and therefore we mourn over the korban of all 24 cities. But a lot of the commentators, they tell us that who suffered the most from the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? The kehanim. It was their house. It was their house. For the average person, so business as usual. You go on, you don't have a place to go for Yom Tov. But the kehanim, it was everything to them. When they lost the Beis HaMikdash, they lost everything. And it's a tribute. This kina is a tribute to the kehanecha HaKedoshim. Yeah.
I'm having a difficulty understanding Achdus versus diversity. Kehanim had a very set system.
Yeah.
They had the no pious, they had big day kahuna, the korban.
The big day kahuna, the Gemara talks, that came, what do you make from linen? Where did the linen grow?
I mean, they had different types.
Well, there's linen, the Gemara talks about the linen, the linen came from Egypt. Oh, that linen was one of a kind. And then you can get linen from America. And then you can get linen from a different texture.
They look the same in the Beis HaMikdash.
Did they? The menorah. Was the menorah the menorah? Was the menorah round menorah? It's not machlokes mitzias. The mefarshim say that elu v'elu could, there are different tekufos in our history. In one tekufa they used the V menorah, and in one tekufa they used the round menorah. Who says that when one mishmar of kohanim came in to serve the Beis HaMikdash, when Lubavitch took over the Beis HaMikdash for their week, Lubavitch says, we have a V menorah. They took out the menorah, the round menorah. They put in the V-menorah. And when Lubavitch left, and the next group comes in, they had the round menorah. They probably left in the Beis HaMikdash. But they know they had their cubbies. They had every mishmar had its warehouse, had its set. We don't know how it worked. But the fact that there are 24 mishmaros, and the fact that each mishmar was based in its own city, not in its own neighborhood, not in their own apartment building, in its own mamish city. They lived in their own city, and they made a pilgrimage twice a year to take over the Beis HaMikdash, forces us to appreciate that when a city, a whole new group comes in, they take over, they bring with it a different flavor. Yeah. Why practicality?
Because they were all coming in and they put their stuff down.
And they slept.
To a home there. Skills
yeah.
Together. So they work as a team.
But if you live in your own city, you have your own culture, you have your own environment. Halacha? None. With Chazal say that each one of the Yud Beis Shvatim had their own Nusach HaTzvila. Sefer Shechazal. They had their own Nusach HaTzvila. And that's why the Arizal, they say the Arizal is, we don't doubt the Arizal, it's koilel all the tefillos. It's a catch-all. It's koilel all the more. So you see what Chazal told us, that each one of the Yud Beis Shvatim had its own flavor in serving Hashem. There are basic halachos that cannot be tampered with in the mashu, but you cannot deny that one set of kohanim, we use linen that comes from Egypt. Gemara says this. What?
The Nagunim.
There's a lot of room in Yiddishkeit for creativity. That's one of the very strong criticisms that were attacked in Orthodox Jewry, is that a person has a need for creativity, to have expression. You can't be boxed in. and people who think that the truth is we're not boxed in. Within what we have, there's an enormous room for creativity.
No, I think it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the orthodox.
Yeah.
That doesn't allow creativity.
That's
the
criticism.
That's not from outside, it's from inside.
Yeah,
that's the criticism. That's the criticism. That's exactly the point. The point is, and the response is that you have a very narrow view of orthodoxy if you make that statement. Because within orthodoxy there is enormous potential for creativity.
But you have to admit there are trends within orthodoxy.
There are trends and there are labels. We're not talking about all the negativity. Let's stay away from the negative. Let's focus on positive. Okay, these are some ideas. Let's go further. Okay, let's go next. Hakina Yud Aleph. Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu. What?
Side discussion about, he said, individuality in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Everybody looks the same.
That's right, they do.
But you go to the army.
Yeah.
Or Tzibah Hashem.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Chattanooga, Tennessee, Eastern California.
Okay.
Y'all good.
I think you all understand. Everyone over here understands there has to be a balance. Everything in life is about a proper balance. Let's go to next. Kina Yudafa. So this is what?
Thing where you
look steam. What
looks steam?
What looks steam?
That's probably so. This
no. No. What are you talking about? Chas
Hashem. Individuality is good. I have a problem.
Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Okay, let's discuss this. He's Satma. What do you want? What do you want? He's Satma.
Which Satma are you?
Let's go. Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu. Okay, this is the most important kina. This kina was sanctioned by who? By Yirmiyahu himself. Yirmiyahu himself, the name that the Petira Yud Aleph. We're up to Yud Aleph. I'm after the Petira of Yoshiyahu. So what was the
Egyptian army also?
So the Maisa there was that Yoshiyahu took over. He became Melech after his grandfather Menashe and Omer, two extremely wicked people. And Klal Yisrael was in a state of ignorance. They did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. And they found the Sefer Torah when they were doing some renovations in the Beis HaMikdash. It was open to the Pasuk of the Teuchacha. And he took this as a sign that he should do tshuva. He did tshuva when he was 16 years old. He did tshuva. He was 8 years into his Malchus. He was 8 years old when he became Melech. 8 years later, he had stirrings of tshuva. When they found the Sefer Torah, he did tshuva. And he turned around the entire Klal Yisrael. He brought them to Verhar Madrega where he felt it was time of Mashiach, and when it says in the Torah of a cherv lo savar bi'artzchem, can he fulfill a full cherv shel shalom? And then when he got a call from Paro Necho that he wants to travel through Eretz Yisrael to fight the Muhammad in Karkamish, he did not allow him to pass. That turned into a Muhammad in which he was killed. He was killed because he failed. He was blamed because he failed to consult with Yirmiyah. If he would have consulted with Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah would have told him that you should let Klal Yisrael let Paro Necho pass, because Klal Yisrael are not holding on a Madrega where they deserve this bracha, because secretly people are living double lives. On the outside they appear to be tzaddikim, but on the inside they're worshipping over the Zohar behind closed doors. They're fooling the inspectors. And he did not allow Paro. Paro said, "I'm coming anyway." He came. They met in Megiddoi, and there was a battle. And in this battle, Yoshiyahu led his army, and he was killed. They shot into his body 300 arrows. His body was perforated like a sieve. As he died, Yirmiyahu came forward to hear his dying words, and he said, "Tzadikhu Hashem ki fiu marisi." He confessed. We learned today in Kitshach Narach. He said vidui. And Yirmiyahu eulogized him. Yirmiyahu buried him. He took his body. He buried him and brought him back to I think it was Ir David. And he was buried there. And he composed this eulogy. What are the lessons that we learn from this kina? So the main lesson, the commentators say, number one is not to listen to the Navi. To listen to your superiors, not to make major decisions in life without consultation. The main chait of Yeshayahu, he did not ask Yirmiyahu. The next major lesson is not to be a faker. the Klal Yisrael, they were tzaddikim on the outside, but on the inside, behind closed doors, they were doing things which was usser. And unfortunately, every single person, we all know as a fact that the way we behave in public is not the way we behave in private. The things that we say, the things that we look at, things that we do, behind closed doors are not the same as what we want people to think of us on the outside. And that is exactly what the Chet Hadar was at this point in time. Another very important thing about this kina is the Baal Tshuva movement. There was the ultimate Baal Tshuva was Yoshiyahu. He was a paradigm for. He came from the nothing of nothing, from Menashe and Amram, did not know from a thing, and he had a stirring in his heart, and he transformed himself, and with him he took the whole Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing tribute to the Baal Tshuva of our generation. This last year there was the yesterday they released the Pew. What is it called? The Pew poll. The poll, the Pew poll, and it revealed some very frightening information. Some very positive information, some very frightening information. Number one, that it revealed that in the United States, 30% of people who consider themselves to be Orthodox identify themselves as Baalei Tshuva, which is amazing, which means 3 out of every 10 Orthodox, out of every people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvos, are Baalei Tshuva. That's an amazing statistic. That's an amazing thing. How successful the Baal Tshuva movement is. And that really, where does that have roots in? That has Ruvain. Okay, the polls have to be really analyzed if they really how correct they are, but the polls are worth something. It's a starting point. And that is a tribute to Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the one who was the quintessential Baal Tshuva. On the other hand, and this kina, you also mourn for all of those people who are not Baalei Tshuva. In America, I think there are millions of Jews all over the world that have absolutely no connection to Yiddishkeit. I think in America, one in every 5 Jews says he has no connection to Yiddishkeit whatsoever. That comes to 1.2 million Jews in America. If you ask them, are they have anything to do with Yiddishkeit, the answer is nothing. And that is something to mourn over in this kina. And not only mourning for them, we're mourning for ourselves, because it is our failure to influence them, number one, through outreach, number two, is without outreach. Just if we would be Erlecha Jews, Erlecha people, Nenela, it would be a trickle-down effect. When another Jew would see our behavior, they would be inspired to follow in our ways and to become Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So this kina is a very frightening kina. It describes the Baal Tshuva movement. And it describes the success and the failure. Yeshayahu was a great success. With him, he took the whole Klal Yisrael. But he didn't make it all the way. He didn't make it all the way. Because there was a chait. The chait was the chait hadar. The dar didn't make it all the way. The dar, there was still failure in the dar. They were not 100%. He was not 100% because he did not ask Yirmiyahu. This great success. Don't kid. He's tzadik hu Hashem. He's tzadik hu Hashem. Yirmiyahu, 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 Yirmiyahu. There was no one as great as him since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But we still really have what to mourn about over our failure in having influence over our chenu b'nei Yisrael out there in the world who have not yet become religious. Intermarriage rate in America is 71%. Okay, 71% of Jews intermarry, and that I read a footnote on that. That doesn't include the people who doesn't take into account people who think they're Jewish. There are many people who think they think they're Jewish. If you take into account that according to halacha, it's like more like 80% who intermarry. And that's unacceptable. 80% of Achenu.
Only 20% is Orthodox.
It's very. The statistics are very.
No, it's every year they tell us that it's 10%. Every single year for the last.
What do they say? It's 10% what?
They always, you know, when they do this thing like the annual yearbook or something like that, they always say that 10% are Orthodox. I never understand that, since our population increases and theirs decreases. But the percentage is always said to be the same.
I don't know. Okay.
Obviously,
something is wrong. But the numbers are scary. No matter how you look at the numbers are not very encouraging. Okay, one more kina will stop. One more kina is kina Yud Beis. Kina Yud Beis is Ohali. The theme is my tent. Lama Lanetzach. Ohal is a code word for the Mishkan. on the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, it is the Mokram Hashuas Hashchina, it's the Beis Hamikdash. And we complain in this kina, what happened to Ahali my tent? You know, Ahali also folks, and we learned in the first the kina hey. Remember kina hey was Shemra. It was the conversation between Ahaliva and Ahala. So here we have Ahali. Ahali is the Beis Hamikdash. Lama lo netzach. Why, Hashem, have you abandoned it forever? There are two words for why. There's madua and lama. What's the difference between the two? Madua is when you want an answer.
Yeah.
Lama is a rhetorical question. I don't want an answer. Ma nishtana halayla hazan nikol halelos. Do you want an answer? You don't want an answer.
It's
manishtana. You know, the child does not really. It's more of a statement. The child does not say to his father, "Madua halayla hazeh." He doesn't say "Madua halayla hazeh." He says "Lama." He says "Ma." Ma comes from the word "Ma." Ma manishtana halayla hazeh nikolas. It's an exclamation. What exactly is unique about this? I know the answer. It's an expression. So here also, it's an expression of frustration. Lama lo netzach. How can you do this, Hashem? How can you allow that? We know the answer. We know because we have sinned. We got what we deserved. But we still get cry out, lama lo netzach. That's the motif of Kina Yud Beis. All right. You want to stop here? Or you want to do another one? I will stop over here. Okay, we'll stop here.